Blog Talk Radio.
This morning's call is something that was very interesting. Last night I was speaking with Sylvia and we were talking about what are some of the major things that make big differences with most people. And we were thinking about skill sets and qualities that our parents had instilled in us. And we had quite a bit of time to speak about it last night because Liam was up for most of the night. So with Liam being up pretty much all night, we were speaking to one another, trying to keep him entertained, and we were talking about what our parents had done for us. And I believe one of the most important qualities in being successful is perseverance. And we were talking about the fact is that your parents, when they show you unconditional love, they show you that there is no until in the conversation. In other words, there is never going to be a giving up point. There never is enough. There always is another time that's going to be tried in order to make whatever it is that they want to have accomplished and help you with. And perseverance is so important. You know, I was reading a book, as I told you before, one of the greatest books that I really enjoyed is Go for the Magic by Pat Williams. And one of the things he was talking about is Walt Disney, and he was talking about stick-to-itiveness and talking about what is it that makes the biggest difference. And he said so often so many people don't or underestimate perseverance. He said with his children, as he's raised children, himself and his wife, one of the things that they always do is when their children want to quit, he makes sure that they don't quit. That if they joined soccer, for example, that they at least played out the season before they made a decision to adjust. Because he said that sticking with something can make the biggest difference. And a lot of people say, I'm not so sure about that, that sticking with this really does make a difference. And he loves to cite a great survey. And this survey is a survey of venture capitalists. These are investors who put large sums of money into smaller startup companies or large startup companies. And as part of that process, they obviously look at the potential balance sheets. They obviously look at the business plan. But the most important point in their mind is the interview that they have with the entrepreneur that's going to be involved in charge of the project. And you would think to yourself, well, do they want to know how smart this person is? Do they want to know how talented this person is? He said, no. He said, I want to know how much this person can overcome. How often this person can sustain intense effort? Can they do it over a long period of time? He said so often they'll ask questions to look back in their past to see how long that they can stick with something. Are they the type of person who's always changing all the time? The fact is that they said the thing that makes the biggest difference is the person who can get knocked down and get up one more time. He said so often the difference between winning and losing is such a fine margin, it doesn't lie in their talent. It lies in their ability to persevere. And so many people think, well, perseverance, I don't really believe it. And he goes on in this book to really lay it out. And I love the way he does it. Because he said the challenge is, and I believe this so, is that so often when we look at successes, whether we're looking in the front cover of People magazine or OK magazine or any of these magazines that we see on the shelves as we go to the checkout, we just see the front cover. We just see the microwave condensed version of their story. We see the success, but what we don't see is the details that behind that success and how they got there. Because the truth is, that's what will help us to understand how we can succeed. Too often people give up because they think to themselves, oh, I mustn't be cut out for this. And the reason that they reason that they mustn't be cut out for this is because they didn't have success overnight. Because they attributed success to being overnight successes. Because they attributed the type of successes that they see on TV that seems to be overnight successes. That they seem to see that the front covers of these magazines, they seem to change every week or every month or every day. Suddenly you didn't know somebody, then seems like overnight they're on the front cover of a magazine, and they say to themselves, well, this mustn't be meant for me. I need to find something else. But the reality is, probably the one greatest characteristic or quality that makes the difference is perseverance. It is sticking with it. It is going that one extra mile. It is separating yourself from the masses by just putting in a little bit more effort, by working one extra hour, by just persevering that little bit extra or getting up that one more time. But to make the point, he illustrates it beautifully. He said, George Washington lost two-thirds of the major campaigns of the Revolutionary War, but he persevered. He won. And the United States of America exists today because he did. I never understood that. I never knew that. But you truly see that. Two-thirds of the major campaigns were lost. When you look in your life, is there anything that you have overcome where two-thirds of what you were doing did not produce the results that you were looking for? You know, George Frederick Handel, I think we all know the masterpiece that he's written, The Messiah. You know, that time when he wrote The Messiah, he was sick. He was destitute. In fact, he was so deeply in hock to his creditors that they threatened to send him to debtor's prison. He persevered, and The Messiah was written. What did it do? It paid his bills and forever enshrined his reputation as one of the greatest composers ever. But he could have quit. Louis Pasteur. We all know what Louis Pasteur has done. This gentleman created pasteurization. It changed civilization as we know it today. But he did so after suffering a paralyzing stroke. When he was interviewed near the end of his life, people revered him, calling him one of the smartest people in the world, the intellectual giant, to a creative genius. And then when close to death, he said, "Let me in. Let me tell you the secret that has made the biggest difference in his life." People just moved in towards him. They were wanting to write this down. He said, "My strength lies solely in my tenacity." Wow. My strength lies solely in my tenacity. Henry Ford, regardless of what we think about the automobile industry, went broke five times before he succeeded. Went broke five times before he succeeded. You know, he had some great successes, but he also had some amazingly embarrassing failures. The very first car model, the very first Ford car model that they designed and that they produced had an amazing flaw. What was that? Ford forgot to install a reverse gear, which obviously made him the laughing stock. Most people would have quit with that, but he went on to succeed. He said the greatest lessons that he learned in life. In fact, he has it written all over his factories. When you start a thing, Ford replies, finish it. When you start a thing, finish it. We don't ever want to let quitting become a habit. You know, Alfred C. Fuller, this was a gentleman that went from job to job and was unable to keep a job down, was constantly being fired. So he decided at that point in his life, he said, no one will employ me. I will employ myself. Out of necessity, he set up his own business, making brushes and selling them door to door. He went on to become the famous organization that we know today as the Fuller Brush Company. You know, one of the people that we all know who is a legend in entertainment here in the United States and all around the world, troops around the world, people around the world, their spirits have been lifted and soared. They know who this gentleman was. Bob Hope. He's a legend. But back in 1928, he was broke. He was hungry. He was unable to find work. He had been practicing his trade for years and years and years. He was literally starving. He was a funny man. He was a person who had great talent, but he persevered. And eventually he got an opportunity. That opportunity was right near the end. He was thinking to himself, do I go one way for another audition, or do I go another way just to get a job that will pay me for an hour so that I can eat? He got one booking from that one audition that he persevered and did, and he went on to be the person we know today, Babe Ruth. You know, Babe Ruth is a sports legend that so many people, who even people who are not very much into sports would know who he is. They would say, I understand that person, the home run king. Yes, it is the home run king. In fact, 714 home runs. But he was also known, but less known for this, as the strikeout king of his era. His strikeout record was 1,330 times. If he didn't strike out that many times, he would never be known as the home run king. How many times are you prepared to let yourself strike out? You know what's so interesting is Theodore Gidsel. You know what is Theodore Gidsel write? This is a gentleman who wrote a book. He submitted it to publishers. He was rejected over 33 times. Where he personally took that book to the publishers, went in and did his presentation with enthusiasm, with joy, and with energy, and was not just rejected, was rejected emphatically, where each person, because he showed up in person, took the time to page by page go through, sentence by sentence, it felt like go through and tell him why it wouldn't work, why the English was so bad, why the illustrations were so ridiculous and stupid. It just, this gentleman should go back to the drawing board and stop wasting his time. That person today, his pen name was Dr. Seuss. The Cat in the Hat would never have been written. Green Eggs and Ham. So we understand perseverance. George Douglas MacArthur, who was turned down for admissions to West Point not once, but twice. If he'd not persisted the third time, our history books might have been different. You know, the story of World War II and the Korean War might have been very different. I love this one. Tom Monahan bought a little hole-in-the-wall pizza shop in 1960. He struggled for over 8 years. And then his business got burned down. The insurance company only gave him 10 cents on the dollar. He took that money, invested it into a new shop, and went broke once again. 2 years later, he fell behind in his loan. The banks took over. They ran the business even further into the ground. He was in a deep state of depression in 1971. This gentleman had worked 11 years only to be $1.5 million in debt. But he said, I know I can turn around. I will persevere. I will make a difference. I have learned over those 11 years, and I will sustain. I will endure. Today, we know that company is Domino's Pizza. With almost 3,500 outlets in the United States, all now around the world, and considered one of the top 50 food services companies. Understand, it was perseverance that made the difference. So often, we don't believe it. You know, Richard Hooker spent 7 years writing his first novel. It was a comedy based on his experience in the Korean War. He took his manuscript to publisher after publisher after publisher after publisher after publisher after publisher, and each time said, it will never sell. Give up. This is not good stuff. But today we know the title of the book, MASH. You know, Mary Kay Ash started up a company in 1963. Everyone predicted it to be a disaster. You know, you look around and you say, who are the people that I look to for advice, for confirmation that my idea is worth it, I can make it happen? No, he looked around to accountants. They were saying she's paying too much commission to her salespeople, that she'll never make it. She went to her attorney and said, no, you will never make it. Let me do a feasibility study, and did a study and showed her all the different cosmetic companies that had failed. They took her product and they analyzed and said, your product's no better than theirs. In fact, their products are better than yours, and their product failed. Their accountant said, if you're going to start, these are all these other companies that started who had more money than you and they failed. They had more experience than you than they have failed. In fact, everybody that you went to, friends, family, wealth, relatives, experts upon experts, everybody said that she would fail. And she said, no, I will persevere because I know when I will persevere longer than any of those companies did and I will succeed. You look at that company today. That company is a giant. When I came into Dallas last time, every carousel that I went to, it had a sign on there that said, Welcome Mary Kay Consultants. They do over $2 billion in sales worldwide. They fill convention centers with over 20,000 people. They have created so many millionaires. And again, the story is perseverance. I tell you that for today so that you understand God does not play favorites. In every single one of us, there is the talent to succeed. He knows that he's given it to you, but the only thing that he asks of you is, how much do you believe? How do you show it? You show it through perseverance. How much do you want it? You show it to him through perseverance. The reality is that the talent inside you was unlocked through perseverance. The key that goes inside that lock is perseverance. You just decide to put effort into it. You will turn that key in that lock, and everything that you look for, the vision you have for your life, will be unlocked. Have a God-filled, gorgeous, beautiful day today. Why? Because you deserve it. The talent.
You know, I just love it when Garrett gets to rolling, but, you know, I'm thinking, Mark, and you and I are on the call today together, that this goes hand in hand with what we talk about on coffee shop presentations. Because if people realize that each one of us has been given a talent, each one of us has been given a perseverance inside, and that if we realize we can hang out in a coffee shop where it's relaxing, it's a third place in our life, all of a sudden we realize, hey, you know what, we can chat with people, we can do things, we can make all this happen. You know, people will break through, I think, the doggone self-limiting beliefs where they can all of a sudden get comfortable and realize they can move forward with it.
Troy, you're 100% right. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great, bro.
Okay, it's just the willingness to go on and on. I know that, you know, when you've had these coffee house conversations, you've never gotten a no.
No, well, you know, hey, not me. I mean, why would I? Anybody tell me no?
We just go on and on and do it again with the expectation that the next one is going to be the breakthrough one, and if not, then the one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that. I so related to what you know, Garrett said today. The championship is won not in the going forward, but in the getting up when you're knocked down. It's the one who will get up that one more time and continue on that's going to reach the success point.
Well, it is, and that's why I love the coffee shop. I love the Starbucks experience, because I share with people all the time the reason Starbucks was so successful when they were charging, you know, 500 times more for coffee is because it became a third place in people's lives, a place of comfort. If you look through history, it used to be people would sit out on their front porch, and then all of a sudden, there were no more front porches. You know, the front porches were gone, so people would go to the main street, and they'd sit around on Main Street, and you can see this in Andy Griffith. People just sitting around and chatting, and then all of a sudden, the main street squares were gone. People were moving to the suburbs. And as people moved out, they lost that third place in their life. They weren't at home. They weren't at work. You know, half of America probably never went to church. They never had it. Starbucks brought in that neighborhood third place in our life where we go in and we sit down, and all of a sudden we have something in common with a perfect stranger across the table or sitting in another chair, and it became so natural for people just to strike up conversations and start chatting. And Jim, wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's so much easier when you're sitting over a cup of coffee and you're just chatting with a person to start asking them, hey, tell me a little bit about your family. What's going on in your life?
It takes the play. You know, they don't feel it's not the same as sitting across the desk doing a job interview or anything like that. It's much more relaxed and laid back. And the manner in which that you pose your questions can be a lot easier for people to give you a heartfelt answer instead of trying to analyze, well, what exactly is it that I'm supposed to say to this? You know, too many people, when they go in for a job interview or anything, they try and read into the question before answering it, what is it exactly that this person is looking for in my response. And the coffee shop, being able to do the interview in a more relaxed environment, I believe it takes the stress off of both parties, and it allows both parties to be more down to earth more genuine and be more at ease as yourself. And when you expose yourself as the person doing the interview, you get a lot more authenticity from the person being interviewed.
Oh, 100%. I will agree with that. I mean, you know, it's one of the things that I've seen when you're chatting with people in a non-stressful situation. All of a sudden, man, they loosen their tie, they chill out, and it's just like you said, Jim, they just start chatting with you. I'll tell you another thing that I found when I'm in those experiences. I've got a little netbook computer, a little bit smaller than the one that you carry with you, Jim, and I'll open that up and I'll be on it, and I may make a phone call to somebody and start talking a little bit about business from the product standpoint. And then I'll hang up the phone, and it never amazes me that somebody will say, "Hey, I just, you know, noticed you were talking about XYZ. Can I ask you about that? Because I've been wondering about that type of situation." And you just strike up a normal conversation with people, and before you know it, you're walking out of there. Whether you've closed the sale or not is irrelevant. You're walking out of there saying, "Man, I talked to that guy about my business, and I wasn't scared. I wasn't fearful. I wasn't intimidated." You know, bam, and it becomes a natural lifestyle habit for people.
I think that's a powerful, powerful place to work from, because you're ultimately empowering people with what we do. What better way to empower them than get to the heart of what moves them?
Well, see, that's the kicker. And think about this. And Mark, you tell me if I'm not correct, because you do so much local prospecting. But when you're sitting there, and you've maybe you've got your little laptop with you and you're showing a DVD, and maybe you're just watching it yourself, people around you start to see that. People around you start to look at it. All of a sudden, you realize this is duplicatable. If you're using the tools from your company in a coffee shop experience, maybe you pop in the DVD, you open it up, and you're watching it. You don't want to be rude, but I guarantee you, if you'll work with the tools, Jimmy, all of a sudden, the tools are making the presentation for you, and you're really not saying anything. You're just sitting there at the doggone table drinking your coffee.
Absolutely.
It's true, Troy, and you have to use the coffee shop. And it's funny that you mentioned the front porch, because the beginning in you know, the towns around where I live to build new houses or remodel them with front porches. And as I drive by in the evening or whatever, nobody's sitting out, because it's been so long since a home has a front porch, people just don't know what to do with them. So you got to go to where people are comfortable. Where are they comfortable? Over their coffee, you know, a latte, you know, we have, you know, the designer coffee in the coffee shop, you know.
Well, guys, and Jimmy, I think you've been probably lately, the last few years, you've been in different cities probably more than I have, because I just, when I moved to the beach, that's where I stayed. But, you know, when you look at some of these malls, these big indoor malls that have closed down, and you see the food courts getting smaller, you know, it used to be that people would go into those food courts, and you'd see people sitting around reading the newspaper and doing all that, and it was kind of institutionalized. And all of a sudden, when these small neighborhood coffee shops started opening up, people started going back to where they did feel comfortable. And, guys, this is what we're talking about right now today, is the fact that you, no matter where you're at in this business, no matter if you're brand new, no matter if you're a veteran and you've plateaued, if you will just work the tools within your company and you memorize those tools. If you've been one of the companies that has a Success From Home magazine, if you've got a good DVD, I know it's a tight economy, but find a couple $300, go to Walmart, buy a little netbook computer, and you can sit there in the coffee shop and you can let those tools work for you, and then just come up with a little presentation like we talked about yesterday, using the form method, where you're talking about family, you're talking about their occupation, their recreation, what motivates them, what you know, their money story there. Gosh, guys, that's all it takes. And Jimmy, you and I've been doing this.
Trey, you broke.
I'm sorry. Yeah, my phone's dinging. We do this all the time. You and I have used this concept for years out there when we're prospecting, because it is so duplicatable.
You know, I think ultimately the bottom line is it comes back to what Garrett was talking about earlier. It comes back to what he's been talking about all week, honestly, and that's the concept of patient persistence, polite persistence, never giving up, never saying die, and not making excuses. Yesterday he talked about one of the Vince Lombardi quotes in the Green Bay Packers locker room, and I thought about that all afternoon yesterday, Troy, from the standpoint of wherever you're willing to quit is where you're willing to stay. And how hard is it to make time to sit down with one person a day and get to know a little bit more about them just as a friend? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were on the phone with Tommy Chenault a while back, and if you remember right, Tom made a comment about the three-foot rule. And if more people understood the three-foot rule and used the three-foot rule as an opportunity to make friends with a new person on a daily basis, because you know what? Not everybody's going to be a fit for your business, and not everybody's somebody that I want in my business.
Yep.
But if I can get a chance to learn something new about a new person and maybe make a new friend along the way, I don't believe that any of us have more friends in our life than we could ever hope to have.
Oh, heck no, man. Not at all. And on that note, Jimmy, I want you to listen to this. I just got an email in. And this ditto is exactly what you just said. It says, "Dear Troy, I felt the need to reach out to you and say thank you for what you do. Here comes the catch line. I'm 15 years old, and I've been in network marketing since I was 14. I started out as a fuller brush man." Now, think about that, folks. You can't have too many friends. What do you think's going to happen when this 15-year-old entrepreneur turns 25, turns 35? How many friends do you think he's going to have that he's going to be able to call and say, "Hey, I just want to share something with you"? How large do you think his organization would be? Jimmy, if you and I had it to do all over again, man, and we could start in this profession at 14 or 15 years old and have that mindset, holy moly, think of how big our organization would be.
Well, you know, Troy, it's funny that you say that, because I have publicly stated on more occasions than I can count that the single biggest regret that I have about network marketing is that I did not start at an earlier age. You know, when you look at people like Brian McMullen,
oh yeah,
who started out in his, and what Brian has been able to accomplish now, Brian does not have to work. Brian would never have to work another day in his life if he didn't want to. The income that he generates from multiple streams of income is mind-boggling. And yet he's such a genuine, down-to-earth, go-giver in the truest sense of the book, the go-giver, that it's not even funny.
Oh, and you know, Jimmy, I think the fun part with Brian is that he realizes network marketing was the fuel, that the multiple streams of income was the fuel for him to do what he truly loves. And a lot of people don't realize it, that Brian actually owns a record production company, and he produces brand new artists out there in the music scene because his passion was to be able to do that. And it's like, man, that's what this is what network marketing is about, is being able to use it as the fuel to go out there and do what your life mission, what your calling is, what your true passion is in life, without having to worry about doing it just for the money.
It's exciting, Troy. You know, and what a lot of people don't understand, and I'm going to keep this real short because I know we're about to run out of time,
yep,
is network marketing will give anyone who invests the time into learning how to do it properly an opportunity to use the income generated from their network marketing businesses to pursue anything in the world they are passionate about.
The sky can be the limit. And folks, we've got about 30 seconds left. I want to do a promo. I want you guys to realize something. Tomorrow afternoon on Aces Radio Live, we're going to have one of the most successful internet marketers in current history, Mr. Michael Dillard, known as Magnetic Mike. And it's going to be a powerful show. It's going to be a very controversial show because Jim's going to really ask some pointed questions. So you want to be on Aces Radio Live tomorrow at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Everybody have just a fantastic day. We'll see you tomorrow.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.